So today's passage is nicely shortened to 2 core 4. So hopefully nobody will leave the service today and not remember what the passage for the sermon is. It's 2 core 4, right? So say it with me. 2 core 4. One more time. 2 core 4, right? We are going to emphasize the verse in 2 Corinthians 4, which is a huge passage, and it has so much stuff in it that I could preach 50 sermons. I'm going to try and squeeze about 3 into 1. But this passage, we're going to emphasize the verse about vessels. And in the other versions, it's jars. It's rendered as jars and various other slightly different words. But in my version, it's rendered as earthen vessels. Okay? So we have here a vessel. It's a nice picnic basket sort of thing. They don't have picnic baskets anymore, I found out when I went to buy one. All they've got are these cooler things. Okay, well, hopefully it'll achieve the same purpose. But we've got this word vessels that we're going to look at first. And it's an interesting word in English. There are a couple of different meanings at least and different ways we use the word vessels. So I'm looking for couple of volunteers here. Who can think of one way we use the word vessel? Gene?
A ship.
A ship, right? A sailing ship. A ship that goes around on the ocean, right? It's a vessel. Anybody else got a different use of the word vessel? Yes. Blood vessels, right? Blood vessels carry blood around our body. Anybody got a different one? Yes. A container, right? I've already used the word vessel like a container here. We have a container. Now, ships, blood vessels, and containers are all things that carry things around, right? So, can have all sorts of different things. My picnic basket here, if you like your Yogi Bear references, right, is great for carrying things around, like my sermon notes, I should get out now, right? And we have lots of other things. We have vessels inside our vessel, right? There's a styrofoam cup. It's great for carrying around hot things or cold things that you want to keep hot or cold. We've got a vessel for carrying around drinks like lemonade. We've got a jar, like the jars of clay. This one's a jar of glass, right? It's great for preserving things and holding them for a long time, right? All sorts of different vessels, even things we might not necessarily think of as vessels, but that's a vessel. I carry things around different places with that purse. I don't, people do. All right, so we're gonna take a look at this passage for a little bit in just a second. And in this passage, we're gonna focus on 3 different important words. They aren't necessarily found in the passage, but they're implied in the passage. And the first one is going to be inside. Okay. The second word we're going to focus on is going to be need. And like I said, they're not necessarily all right there, obviously, in the passage. And the last word is going to be vigilant. Okay. So those are our 3 big words, 3 big ideas we're going to look at. All right, so let's take a look at 2 core 4, and we're actually going to start just a little bit before, because you may notice that 2 Corinthians 4 starts with therefore. And as so many preachers I've heard before say, you got to look and see what the therefore is there for. So if we look at the last couple verses right before it, it says in the end of chapter 3, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So then, at the beginning of 2 Cor 4, where it says, therefore, since we have this ministry, it's talking about the fact that we have the gospel of Christ and the glory of Christ being regenerated within us as we're being sanctified. So this passage is very much speaking to people who have accepted the gospel, right? So what I'm talking about here is advice and facts and applications that have to do with people who have accepted the gospel. And when you have accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, which says that Christ Jesus, though he was God, put off his godly capacities and became a human being, lived on the earth a perfect life, and in order to help every sinner who would put their faith in him, died on the cross to make our relationships right with God. If we would accept that calling that God puts on our heart to have a faith in Jesus, to trust him as our Lord and Savior, to believe that his perfect life and his death on the cross paid for our sins, and that his resurrection from the dead showed that God will resurrect those who put their faith in Christ as well. So that is the gospel that Paul is talking about here in 2 Cor 4. So therefore, since we have this ministry, which he's talking about sharing this gospel and bringing it to other people, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestations of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. So here we see in this passage in 2 Corinthians 4, Paul, himself a Christian, a more mature Christian, is talking to less mature Christians at the church at Corinth. Interestingly, in this passage, when Paul is talking about we and talking about himself, together with the believers at Corinth, and specifically talking to the believers at Corinth, all those parts of this passage will apply to us. Because at different times, we are the more mature Christian in a relationship with someone else. And at other times, we are the less mature Christian who's learning from somebody else. So as he says we and switches back and forth between we and you, it's okay to know that Paul is talking in ways that apply to both, to us in both situations, in both grammatical kind of ways he's talking. But here we see in this passage, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. And I think we all can think of many examples lately where people's minds have been blinded by the God of this age. But we aren't those people. We are people who can see. We have light. How do we have light? For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservant for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is the light that is shining, that shone in the darkness of our souls when we were unrepentant sinners, when God called us to faith in Jesus Christ, that allows us to see the truth and the value of the gospel. Now, it's a pretty big responsibility we have there. Paul says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. This implies a lot. This implies inside, our first point. Okay? It is what is inside of us that gives us eternal value and eternal worth. Also, it's what gives us the ability to succeed in doing God's will. It is not of our own selves. We are earthen vessels. We are weak objects. The styrofoam cup, right? Are you going to use the styrofoam cup to do much of anything besides hold something hot or cold? Are you going to use it to hold up something heavy? Probably not, right? The styrofoam cup is kind of our modern day version of an earthen vessel. We are ourselves weak, but it is what is inside us that is so important. It is the eternal gospel of Jesus Christ that's inside us that gives us worth and allows us to succeed at the task God sets for us. So, to illustrate that, I've got a little story and some handbags. Right. So, another church I know well likes to have this charity auction. And the ladies in the church will pack handbags. They'll put different things inside the handbags. They'll hang them up on a wall. And then everybody gets to bid on the handbags as they come up. They'll take one off the wall. They'll show it around. You can't look inside. You'd love to look inside. Some of them have candy. Some of them have other things. Some of them have silly things inside them as jokes, kind of like the white elephant gift that you tried to get rid of last Christmas, right? And all of a sudden it shows back up in a handbag that you buy at the charity auction, right? So we have here three handbags. Imagine that you're at that charity auction, right? And these are the last three handbags available. You have maybe $20 in your pocket. You have to decide which of these three handbags that you will bid on, that you're going to put your money towards. Okay? So we've got this lovely beige, pink, I don't even know what to call this, colored thing with the big metal hook on the front. We've got, I'm pretty sure it's real leather, probably, might be pleather, this blue, royal blue handbag, and we've got this wicker handbag. So I want all of you right now to make a decision, which I'm going to ask you for your decision. So don't pretend to make a decision, but not. Decide what you're going to spend your $20 bidding on. What are you going to bid on? Is it going to be the wicker one, the woven one, the leather one, the pink one? Take your pick right now. If this was the real auction, what would you probably want to know about these? You can't know what's inside yet. You have to buy it to see that. What might you want to know? How heavy they are? Brand name on it? How durable they are? How well made they are? And I think I hear somebody over here saying it. Who donated it? All right? So, if I know there's this one mischievous old lady who loves to pack white elephant gifts in her purse, I'm going to be way more suspicious of that purse, right? If I know it's that nice little lady who always like dumps her candy jar into the purse before she comes to this thing, I know I'm pretty safe, right? Who packed the purse becomes an incredibly important decision. All right, so how many people picked this pink purse with this nice thin strap? It is, raise your hand if you picked the pink purse. Couple, raise them high. Got maybe, okay. That's maybe eight or so. How many people picked our blue strap purse here? All right. That seems to be a little more popular. And how many people picked our bamboo handled? Oh, very good. Okay. Pretty good. All right, so now you see who your competition is, who you're going to be bidding against. Good luck getting those. But let's take a look. Now, let's say we've purchased them. Okay, the pink one goes up for auction first, and we purchase it, and we're all excited. This was the one we wanted. We got it. Open it up. Inside we find 5 pennies. That's not a good start. Oh, quarters! And 5 quarters. We find $1.30 inside our purse. But remember, it was a charity auction, right? So, you know, your money went to a good purpose. This purse had only $1.30 inside it. Not a whole lot, right? Now, let's take a look at our next one. We've got our blue one up here. No. Let's go to this one, right? Well, I go to this one and I look and I see, uh-oh, you ever have one of those aunts who tapes all your Christmas presents together? Somebody has zip-tied shut my purse that I just bought at my charity auction. I can't get into this I'm stuck, I've got a problem. So just as a pause, you know, before we go opening another purse and resolving any of that mystery, remember, it's what's inside these purses. We're really curious right now to find out what's inside these purses. We don't know, because I'm the one that packed them. And I think you can all know that I'm like the crazy old lady who'll stuff a white elephant gift in there. So we don't know what's in these. But we know as a Christian what's in us, what God has put into us. He has poured the gospel into us. Right? And that gospel is valuable. So let's take a look at what's inside our blue purse. So who is it who wanted the blue purse? Hands? Okay. Okay, so here's what you would have gotten. We don't know about the other one. Oh, you would have gotten a multi-tool. That's interesting. Ooh, you would have gotten 3 ounces of silver. Right? That would have been a pretty good deal. This purse, right, had less things in it than the pink one, but these things had value to us, right? They have intrinsic value, like the gospel of Christ has, because it is good. But this also has value in its usefulness to us. So let's go on in 2 Cor 4. And let's take a look at what the results of having the gospel of Christ inside. All right, you guys want to know what's in this one? Okay, I'll tell you in a little bit. All right. Oh, I need the pocket. If I was a clever purse packer, I would have packed something in the pocket, but there is nothing. Ooh, that would be good. Because I wouldn't have put the $100 bill in there. I would have been like, yes. All right. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Now listen to the consequences of this fact, that we have this gift of the gospel inside us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. We as Christians can know that we will be hard-pressed on every side. We will be perplexed. Why don't they understand the gospel? Why won't they just listen to the gospel? Why won't they turn away from sin? We will be persecuted. I think we all see that coming, right? We will be struck down. But because of what we have inside us, because we have something inside us of innate worth and great utility to us, we can trust that we will not be crushed. We will not have to be in despair. We will know we are never going to be forsaken. And we will know that even if we're struck down, we're never going to be destroyed. In this passage, as we look at what's coming in the future, perhaps down the road, is of great, great comfort to us. So what we have inside is of amazing importance to us. But this is a promise from God, and He has also promised in Ephesians 2:10, if we take a look over there, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." He prepared us beforehand for good works. He has us ready. If you look at Philippians 4:19, it tells us, "And my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So in 2 Cor 4, the reason that we can be hard-pressed and not crushed, perplexed and not in despair is because God has promised us to take care of our needs. What we need, He will provide for us. And as Pastor Thrasher said the other week, the great turn of phrase, it will be our needs and not our greeds that He provides for us. Right? So many people in the world is like, I prayed for a Ferrari. And like, clearly God doesn't exist because I didn't get a Ferrari. Right? In my own life, don't get me wrong, in my own life, I've also struggled with that. So we do have a multi-tool, which we needed. God provided for our need. All right, raise your hand. Who wanted to see what was in our... All right, you guys wanted this one. Here we go. Why is that little murmur? What's that murmur for? People don't trust me that I don't pack a good charity purse? Ooh, I definitely don't. I just broke my charity purse. All right. Okay. What we got? It's a Ziploc bag for sure. It's... It's a llama, which reminds me of an important math question I have for you guys, okay? So everybody be ready. If you've got a pencil, I want you to write your answers down. Okay, I've got this llama here, and this llama is representative of this math question. There's a setup to it, and there's two parts to the math question, A and B. The setup goes like this. High in the Andes Mountains, there is a shepherd of llamas. He has 33 llamas in his herd and 5 dogs to help him guard the llamas in the cold Andean night. Okay. Part A. How many llamas are in the shepherd's herd? Go ahead, write down your answer to part A. I'll give you some time to calculate. Part B. How old is the llama shepherd? Come on, shouldn't take you that long to calculate this one. Go ahead. How old is the llama shepherd? Write that down for part B. Okay. All right, who's got the answer for A? Who's got the answer for A? 33 is correct. He had 33 llamas. Very good. Don Hillebrand, what did you have for part B? For part B, yeah, you. 35 years old. Mr. Yetter, you're an engineer. How old was he? Well, all right. So clearly, I didn't give you any information about his age, right? No. Yeah, exactly. You add the dogs to the number of llamas, and that adds up to the... This is actually what students do on that question when it's given to them. It's actually a math research question by educational psychology people. They use sheep. I like llamas. Anyway, God asks us to do things in our lives. And many, many, many people would tell you, God asks you to do a whole bunch of things like question B. But we know from the Bible that God never asks us a question like, how old is the shepherd, when he hasn't told us anything about how to figure it out. We know from these parts of Scripture and the whole of Scripture continually, that the needs we have are provided for by God. God asks us questions like, how many llamas are in the herd? And we know and can trust that God will only ask us for those kind of tasks. So, we have learned so far in 2 Cor 4, right? Say it with me, 2 Cor 4. 2 Cor 4. All right, so we have learned in 2 Cor 4 that vessels are an image for us as Christians. We have learned that vessels can have all kinds of different things in them, from some spare change to some valuable things that are both innately valuable and utilitarianly valuable. We've learned that God will provide for our needs. But there's one more illustration I want to go to before I get to the vigilance. And that is the idea that God provides us all of the resources and the abilities that we need to do these things. So with these promises we have in Scripture, we are not putting anything at risk if we go out and try to do God's will and God's work in the world. Okay? We're not putting anything at risk. It's like we're playing with house money. Any of you get that metaphor? Playing with house money? That's right, because you're in church. You don't know what playing with house money means. All right, let's illustrate it. All right, I need a little person, someone who's smaller but can still speak and make decisions. Volunteers, I'm looking for volunteers here. Their last name could be, go ahead, come on up, awesome. All right, we've got a game to play, Lydia. So we're gonna play with our styrofoam cup. You wanna hold my cup for a second? Come around over here. Okay, what have we got here? Money, all right? We've got 5 pennies and 5 quarters. How much money did you have on you when you walked up here? 0, you had none. I'm gonna give you 5 pennies. Okay, hold out your hand. There you go, you get 5 pennies. All right, I got 5 quarters right here. I'm gonna put them in my hand for now, okay? So, here's the rules, Lydia. You get to put as many pennies as you want in that cup. I'm gonna put in 1 quarter for each penny that you put in that cup. We're gonna shake it up, we're gonna turn it over on the table, and every coin that comes up heads, you're gonna keep and walk away with. Every coin that comes up tails, I get to keep. Okay, so what do you wanna do? What do you think you should do in this game? You wanna phone a friend, or expert, or father? You see what your brother's saying? Did you see what he's saying? What do you think you should do? You're gonna put them all in? Oh, she's all in. Not that we would know what that means in this. No. All right. So I'm gonna put all my coins in here too. We're gonna shake these up. And we're gonna ask real quick, before we dump them out on the table, do you think she's doing the right thing? We have a no, we have some yeses, right? Who wants to justify their answer? All right, Adrian. Okay. Mr. Babcock? Oh, don't do it all. It's gambling. Fair argument. Missed the last sermon? No. Gene. You ready to see what? Okay. You ready to see. All right. Is it gambling, though? Why not? I gave her the money to begin with. This is important, right? We're not risking anything by going out and doing God's work in the world. We're not risking anything. God's given us. You want to know how many coins you got? Let's find out. What do you got? Wow! Look at that. What'd you get? You get all the heads. Which ones are heads? Those, yeah, those guys. Those guys. Those guys. Yeah, yeah. You left me with 2 pennies. Woo-wee! Very good. You get to take that money and go ahead and head back. Not that I know it, like with inflation and everything, $1.28 isn't going to get you much, but you've got that. Good job. Congratulations, Lydia. All right. So God gives us, go ahead, you get to head back. You're good. You did a great job. All right. So God gives us the treasure, the talent, the time that we get to spend in his service, right? We're risking nothing. Now, with all of that comes a warning, okay? And this isn't so much directly in this passage as implied. When we have our vessel and a treasure from God, the treasure from God is enduring, it's eternal. We've already talked about a styrofoam cup. It's not, right? It's not enduring. So our last point is vigilance. So we have inside, we talked about that. We have need, we talked about that. God will provide us what we need. And now we're gonna talk about vigilance, okay? So we have the 2 pennies I have left from my game. Didn't even get to keep a quarter. All right, so got my 2 pennies in my cup. They're going to stand in for our treasure, right? Our eternal treasure. And we have our styrofoam cup here, right? And we as Christians, we as human beings, get to choose to some degree what other things we put in ourselves, right? We might see something in a beautiful drink bottle. Lemonade. I love lemonade. It's hot. It's sunny out. I'm going to have me some lemonade, right? And perhaps you don't take a close enough look at your lemonade. Okay. So you grab lemonade. It looks golden and refreshing. Okay. And you pour that in your vessel. And you wait for a little bit. And you can see it happening up here. And you find out that, what looked so beautiful and wonderful was not so good for your vessel. Okay? So what looked beautiful and wonderful, alluring, appealed to your eyes, to the pride of life, etc., was actually destructive to your vessel. But you'll notice I've got two pennies on the bottom here that are just fine, right? God's treasure won't get dissolved. It won't get turned back. But you will, if you're not vigilant about what you put in yourself. So let's turn to some scriptures that help us to remember that. And calling back to a sermon that I gave before, I'll give you a list and a principle. Okay, so Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Put those things that satisfy that list in your vessel. If we go over to Colossians 3, 1 through 4, here's a principle for you. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So, 2 Cor 4. Let's go back over it quickly. Right? We are earthen vessels. God will pour into us and put inside of us a treasure which is innately valuable, the gospel of Christ, but which is also incredibly useful to us, because it will not, when we are pressed, hard pressed on every side, when we are perplexed, when we are persecuted, when we are struck down, we will not be crushed. We will not be in despair. Right? We will not be defeated. Even if we're struck down, we will not be destroyed. God has promised that because of what he'll put inside us. And those promises lead us to know that the needs that we have will be fulfilled by God. Our needs, not our greeds, but our needs. And he'll provide what we need. And because he's providing what we need, we can go out and do all sorts of amazing things for him. We can do his work, and we're not risking anything, because it all came from him in the first place. Playing with house money is the bad analogy. Lastly, do we even see the vessel left? Right? Those pennies are down there. They're fine. Pennies don't have any problem. Right? So the pornography will not destroy Christ. The food will not destroy Christ. The sin, the gossip, the lying, the stealing, the pride, those things will not destroy Christ in you, but they'll destroy you. So be vigilant. That list, that principle, whichever one works better for you, put those things inside yourself so that you can work together with that innately beautiful treasure that God has given you to achieve all kinds of ends. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, I praise you so much for giving me both this opportunity to give this talk and also, Lord, for the words and the ideas to share it with my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray that it would have a deep impact on all of us to know, Lord, to know that you pour into us such a beautiful treasure that surpasses anything the world could offer, and that you promise to supply every need we have and to help us to go out and do whatever you call us to do. And lastly, Lord, I pray that we would be vigilant. Vigilant over our hearts, our eyes, our minds, all those things that bring things into our lives. Our whole lives are vessels, not just our bodies. Don't just think about us. Don't let us just think about our bodies as our vessels, Lord God, but instead, let us take it all the way and think about the time that we spend on things. Our whole life is a vessel that contains what you pour into it and the choices we make. So, Lord God, I pray that you would help us to make good choices. Right choices, make us vigilant over those things that we have control over. Lord, I pray for everyone in this body that they would go from here and put these ideas to use, and that they would help them to serve you better, Lord God, and to do your will in everything and everywhere they go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.